From marketing campaigns to product launches and more, plan, organize, and execute your team's work with Asana. Asana, how teams manage work. Try it free. Visit asana.com to get started.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, February 5th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal in New York. The results of the Democratic caucuses in Iowa are in. No, they're not. They were delayed by nearly a day. The culprit? A malfunctioning app. Our social media and politics reporter Deepa Seetharaman will join us to explain what happened and what it could mean for the rest of the 2020 election season. But first, let's check some headlines. When it comes to 5G, the White House is turning to Plan B. The Trump administration is in the early stages of developing a 5G software standard with U.S. tech companies like Microsoft and Dell that could run on any kind of 5G hardware. All of this is a bid to keep the Chinese telecom giant Huawei out of the U.S. and possibly even eliminate the need for Huawei equipment altogether. The White House has been arguing that Huawei's equipment could be used for espionage. They've been blocking U.S. companies from working with Huawei and pressuring allies to do the same. But that hasn't worked so well. The UK decided last week to work with Huawei on its 5G network. The Justice Department's chief antitrust enforcer, Assistant AG Makan Delrahim, is recusing himself from a DOJ investigation into Google because he used to be an advisor to Google back in 2007, right when it was seeking approval from the FTC to buy the internet advertising firm DoubleClick. That acquisition helped Google become the dominant force in online advertising, which is a big focus of the DOJ's investigation. So, critics, including Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren, have been calling on Delrahim to recuse himself. The DOJ's probes are expected to last for much of 2020. We report that the owner of the New York Stock Exchange has made an offer to acquire eBay. The companies aren't in formal talks, and there's no guarantee that eBay would accept the offer. But if it did, the tech company could be valued at more than $30 billion, according to people familiar with the matter. These people said Intercontinental Exchange, known as ICE, which is the owner of the New York Stock Exchange, is primarily interested in eBay's core e-commerce business. And it may see an opening to apply its expertise connecting buyers and sellers to eBay's online marketplace. And Walt Disney more than doubled its Disney Plus subscribers since the streaming service launched in November, hitting more than 26 million. That's according to the company's earnings report, which was released on Tuesday. The line of Disney's business that includes Disney Plus, as well as Hulu and ESPN Plus, more than quadrupled its revenue, but it's operating at a wider loss than a year earlier. Across the company, Disney's revenue beat expectations, rising 36% from a year earlier. The company's shares jumped in after-hours trading after the announcement on Tuesday. After the break, social media and politics reporter Deepa Seetharaman joins us to check in on the app that brought the Iowa caucuses to a standstill. That's next.
Your job. You took it because it seemed interesting, fun even. But now you spend most days sitting in status meetings, updating spreadsheets, and slogging through email after email after email. Enough. Get back to the work you want to do with Asana. Asana strips away the bottlenecks and busy work so teams have more time for doing stuff like pushing boundaries and solving problems. You know, real work. Visit asana.com to try it free.
After the Iowa caucuses on Monday night, the winner was confusion. The results were delayed and delayed and delayed again. The state's Democratic Party was only able to begin releasing results on Tuesday evening, almost a full day after the caucuses began. And a lot of the chaos is being traced back to a malfunctioning app. So here to explain what happened is our social media and politics reporter, Deepa Seetharaman. Deepa, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. So there's been a lot of chaos in the political realm since Monday night. Let's back up. Can you explain to us what is this app? How did it work? What did Iowa's Democratic Party, what were they trying to use it for?
So this was a smartphone app that the Iowa Democratic Party said last month would record votes from the Iowa caucuses. And the idea was that it would be easier and faster to report results, given that there were something like 1,700 caucus sites. So basically, if you're a precinct chair, you'd be able to record the results from each round of voting and use the app to send the results to the Iowa Democratic Party. Now, that's the way it was supposed to work. It was, you know, the party initially defended it as a way to simplify the process and just get results very quickly. So they relied on this app and they had a backup phone line. What wound up happening was a lot of precinct chairs had difficulty using the app. You know, some people had bad cell phone service. Some people weren't comfortable with the app because they were only introduced to it a couple weeks before the caucuses. It would just malfunction. Like, there'd be a glitch. They'd be entering results and all of a sudden the app would just sort of bug out. And so there were a bunch of different issues. And then as a result, a lot of the precinct chairs just got on the phone and tried to call in the results. Well, since that was supposed to be the backup option, you know, there were long, long, long line, you know, waiting hold times. You know, people were holding for more than an hour to call in these results from all over the state. So there was just kind of organizational chaos that started with the glitchy app.
So, I mean, this is the first year they've used this app. What were they doing before that wasn't glitchy?
Yeah, no, this is the first year that they've used this particular app. But, you know, sources have described to me that, you know, there have been app-related issues in, you know, 2008 and in 2012. There have been issues with technology before. You know, political technology, you know, they're always trying to find ways to update the way that the caucuses are done and simplify the process. But their political technology can be risky. There are bugs and it has to be deployed flawlessly, which is difficult to do in general. I mean, if you look at the Silicon Valley, the vast majority of the products that are launched here are launched and they're a little bit buggy. They need to be refined over time. But with something like the Iowa caucuses, that's a mission critical app. You know, it needs to work perfectly from the get-go. And so you have a higher standard for this particular app. And that raises, you know, you combine that with the lack of training and, you know, not enough notice and not enough practice actually using the app. And you have a lot of problems.
So what do we know about the people who made the app or the company that made the app?
So initially, the Iowa Democratic Party didn't say who the vendor was, and they said it was for security reasons, which raised a lot of concerns among cybersecurity folks who said that isn't best practice. Then yesterday, we started hearing from sources as problems sort of mounting last night. We started hearing from sources that, you know, were conveying this information to us around, you know, who the vendor was. And it turns out it was this company called Shadow. Really small company. It's a company that you probably wouldn't have heard of unless you were in, you know, Democratic digital circles, and maybe not even then. It's connected to this pretty splashy Democratic nonprofit called Acronym. And Shadow is, you know, is a pretty, our understanding is it's a small company, and it was paid, you know, $63,000 by the Iowa Democratic Party to develop this app in November and December. And, you know, a lot of details, though, are outstanding. We don't totally understand what the initial app looked like, and we don't know, you know, we don't know what the overall process is. We don't know why Shadow was selected over any other vendor, but, you know, we just know that they built this app over the last 2 months, and they, you know, were refining it up until the very end.
You spoke earlier about the fact that this isn't the first time that they've tried to develop a technological solution for the caucuses or for the voting practice. What are the best practices around testing something like this? We're hearing that the Department of Homeland Security maybe offered to do some testing. So what do we know about that?
Two things. We know that it wasn't vetted by Department of Homeland Security officials. Our understanding is that they offered to vet the app and the Iowa Democratic Party said no. Of course, the head of the Iowa Democratic Party is saying that this offer, he wasn't even aware of the DHS's offer. So there's some confusion there. We know that maybe more to the point that it wasn't tested at a statewide level or particularly rigorously. We know that because we've been talking to precinct chairs who say that, you know, they weren't told about the app. They were given the app about 3 weeks ago to play with and that it was being updated as late as this weekend. So, you know, they didn't have a lot of experience with the final version of the app, and that, you know, that's pretty unusual for something, for an app that is sort of central to democracy, which is what this particular service would have been. And so we know that that was a particular issue, that they didn't test it on a wide scale and not a lot of the precinct chairs had experience or practice with it.
There have been some concerns raised about the app's security. Is there any evidence that this breakdown is a result of a hack of any kind?
Just from talking to everybody that we've been talking to, the sense is that this is a technical failure, not a security hack. You know, it's still early days, I guess. You know, we obviously don't know what we don't know. But I think from my standpoint right now, our best understanding is that this is a series of glitches and bugs.
I mean, it's still kind of zooming out, puts a lot of things into question, right? Iowa wasn't the only state that had planned to introduce new technology in this voting process. And I understand that Nevada had been planning to use a similar mobile app during its caucus later this month. So what are they saying about this now?
Well, as of this morning, Nevada changed its tune. You know, it said that it wants to, it's confident that it can avoid the issues in the Iowa caucuses, and it won't be using the app that it commissioned from Shadow. And Nevada had spent about $58,000 with Shadow. So the experience of Monday night has clearly had an impact on Nevada. You know, they don't want anything to do with this app.
So Iowa had a backup plan. What was its backup plan besides phone calls?
I mean, that was a backup plan. it was precinct chairs call in a hotline. But the problem is it was tied up. You know, my colleague spoke to this one precinct chair who spent more than an hour past midnight on Monday night trying to contact somebody and gave up and called the next morning around 6 a.m. And the head of the Iowa Democratic Party picked up. You know, so they're clearly manning the lines with everybody that they can find to try to get these results in.
This is obviously a huge headache for Iowa, but it ripples on beyond Iowa, beyond Nevada, and really puts into question voters' faith maybe in the entire democratic process. Do we have any indication of how voters in Iowa are responding and what this could mean for the entire 2020 process?
I think it raises some questions about the integrity of the process over the next several months. You know, I mean, nobody is saying that votes have been changed here. Nobody is saying that votes have been deleted or, you know, not counted. There doesn't seem to be any issues with fraud itself. But these kinds of technical glitches can slowly ebb the public's confidence that in our electoral system and in how votes are tabulated. You know, this is pretty simple. I think for the standpoint of a lot of people, you know, it's pretty simple. You count votes. And if the feeling that we've heard from some voters is if, you know, if this is an issue in Iowa and in a caucus, which is pretty small, you know, are we seeing a preview of what November could look like? And you know, there's a lot of concern that even though there isn't fraud or a hack or anything, at least all the indications now is that there hasn't been a fraud or a hack in this situation. It's just a matter of sheer competence. Can you trust the system?
And this isn't the only place. They're not just using apps for caucuses. I mean, we have a lot of states have been testing out for local elections using digital voting and things like that, right?
Yeah. And, you know, at one point there was a discussion about a digital voting app in Iowa, too, that got shot down by the DNC, you know. And so these kinds of incidences raise questions. But whether those are whether that's a good idea, should we just revert back to good old paper?
Paper ballots. There you go. Social media and politics reporter Deepa Sitharaman, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And that was your tech news briefing. Don't forget that if you like this podcast, you can rate and review us in your app store. Please do. And if you want more news about Wall Street Journal podcasts, you can follow us on Twitter at WSJ Podcasts. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal in New York. Thanks for listening.